Hey y'all, it's Selena
and Saluke,
and we love Married at First Sight. Woo! All right, here we go. Math season. What season is it? 12?
Episode 4. Episode 4, Romance or Regret.
Oh, good title. Good title, especially for this nightmare scenario.
I should have known it was going to be a good episode when I saw alliteration in the episode title. That's when you know folks are serious. I thought this was a good episode. It felt like we went from one hotel to another hotel, and it was just one very long day that we all had to live through, and the same things were coming up. But I felt as though I got fresh perspective on some of our couples together and as individuals.
I mean, it was good. There were definitely some like high voltage moments. There were some moments where the drama really came in. But overall, when you look at the episode, there was probably only like 5 to 10 minutes where I was really invested. And truthfully, only one couple's storyline that I was really into. Everyone else and every other minute was just kind of like, you know, it's happening, but is it happening? How did you feel about it?
I felt similarly. I feel as though there was a lot to discuss, and the central characters were Chris and Paige, and Brianna and Vincent were the palate cleansers. They were like, we know this is primetime television drama, but also look, we made one happy couple, and then the rest were kind of fillers. I didn't have the mental bandwidth to really delve into Virginia and her drinking this episode, but I kept an eye on it. Other than that, everybody else was giving bland mayonnaise, uneventful.
Very much so.
You know what I noticed? They didn't build up or inquire that deeply about whether or not the couples consummated their marriage. I feel like in past seasons, the producers were nosy as hell, and they'd be like, so, did you do it? And I always felt a little gross being invested in the timeline of someone else's coitus, but it's a function of being a fan of this show, is wondering how, as Brianna would say, they choose and when they choose to do the hanky-panky.
To be intimate. No, I absolutely agree. I feel like I went through a lot of this episode wondering if anybody actually did the deed until it became blatantly clear. But we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Let me tell you, when homegirl said, well, we slept with each other last night and this morning, I was nodding. I was upset with Chris already because he left her in the room. And then she dropped the bomb that he said that he wasn't attracted to her after he had put those strokes on her. I literally in my room went, and I, oop.
And he didn't even give me, never mind. Let me not even say what I was going to say.
I think we all heard it.
You fill in the blank. You be the judge. But it doesn't give me what I think it's not giving.
I have a wide range of attraction to the cast members on this show. I think that they all are nice looking, but I'm not attracted to every single person. There is enough to say about Chris without me having to drag down his physical appearance just because he chooses to do it about his wife. I think he could be attractive to someone. I also think that how you look should not dictate how much respect that you give and or earn.
I completely agree with you. And for Chris, I think that both you and I are one of those people where the personality makes the looks. So I think if he was a little bit more humble, a little bit more gracious, I could see him perhaps as being attractive. But because he has displayed so many awful characteristics or distasteful actions, I don't know. My eyes just aren't giving him the benefit of attractiveness. Like I don't see, and I see every flaw in like sharp detail, you know, because HD. He's just so nasty.
Yeah. 4K. You see them. You see that Nike swoop in the side of his head in 4K.
I see his little wrinkled pug forehead, like in sharp detail. That's the thing. And I probably wouldn't if he was a nicer person, or if he was portrayed as a nicer person.
So the episode opens with our newlyweds in the hotel room. They have the dust of the wedding on their eyes and they're waking up to their new spouse. It leaves us as viewers wondering, did they or did they not consummate their marriage? Selena, what would you do?
It would depend on the attraction level. If I thought that my husband looked like Morris Chestnut or Lance Gross, maybe I'd be ready to drop them draws. But if I was a little bit more, you know, if maybe the personality wasn't there or the looks weren't there, maybe I would be down for a cuddle. But I would definitely on night one want there to be some physical contact. So if not full-on penetration, at least a cuddling scenario. What about you, Faluke?
Well, I learned a lot about you there.
Listen, I don't hold back.
I think it depends on how much I had to drink at the wedding. No, that was bad.
No. Say how you feel. Say what you mean.
Look, you asked me to be honest and I'm being honest. Here we are.
Living your truth.
In my sober reality, I would not sleep with my partner on the first night. For the most part, I'm not a physical person. So I can go days, weeks, months, decades without having coitus and it wouldn't bother me. I'm really stimulated by people's minds, their intellect. Tell me about your childhood trauma. Let's get deep. Again, I'm a Scorpio. That's how we roll. Mm-hmm. Until I feel that depth with you, I don't need you to feel my depths. I don't need you to get deep in me, if you know what I'm saying.
We know, girl.
Also, in an experiment like this, where I know in 6 weeks that you might possibly divorce me and I might possibly run away from you, I don't know if I want you to be able to say that you bagged me. If I had a question about your morality, then I'm probably not going to, on national television, allow you to talk about the pleasure of entering me. So I probably wouldn't have intercourse during the course of the experiment. If for some reason the vibes are right and I was falling for my husband, it would probably happen sometime between the honeymoon and decision day, once I've seen him in multiple scenarios, when I've seen him having fun, when I've seen him in the apartment lounging, when I've seen him after a long day at work, when I've seen him around his family and his friends. And I feel like all those different sides of him align to form the same person.
No, I definitely get that. And to your point, I hadn't even thought about giving him the honor of saying that he bagged me, because I don't even think about that anymore. Truth be told, like, what if I bagged you? You know, like, what's the difference? That's
true.
Well, very low on my thought process, but it's a good point.
That's a really good point that you made, because I was thinking about this in reflecting on the episode. This man, Chris, was not attracted to Paige, and he decided to sleep with her not once, but twice.
Mm-hmm.
That should tell our audience. It definitely told me, it reinforced something that I believe, which is sex will not change the way a man feels about you, for good or for bad. It's not going to make him think less of you if he respects you, and it's not going to make him love you if he doesn't already respect you.
Where are the organs? Pastor Luke is on again.
Pastor Luke took the mic from Gutter Luke's and came here to say, if you're going to have sex, make sure you're doing it for you, because it's not going to change how the other person thinks about you. You're not earning points. You're not losing points. It's a matter of your pleasure and getting yours. And that was my biggest takeaway from this episode.
You're absolutely right. And before we get into the nightmare that was Chris and Paige's morning after, we did a quick poll on Twitter asking, if it were you, how long would it take for you to consummate the marriage? 49% at least said that it would be no rush, just like Faluke. No timeline, no rush, no worries. 28% said before decision day, and then 16% said on the honeymoon. A very small 7% said night one. So it seems like everybody is in agreement that definitely not night one, maybe honeymoon, maybe before decision day, or maybe not.
But I see you 7%. Shout out to the 7% who wants to get it in night one. Look, that's your man. Y'all have wedding bands. You are married. Get it. It's a beautiful thing. If that's what you want, get it. Yeah. I mean, if they start putting 18-year-olds who are saving it for marriage, I bet they would be humping like rabbits on the first night.
By design.
That was rude. I didn't mean that. Okay. So a couple that I was wondering whether or not they consummated their marriage on the first night based on their wedding activity was Virginia and Eric.
Mm.
Now, Virginia says she's very attracted to Eric and that age is not an issue at all, and that he's, in fact, a very great guy. Her mm-hmm. only concern is that she hasn't lived with anyone before, which I don't really think will be an issue. Mm-mm. And Eric just seems happy to be there. I don't know if they ever said whether or not they slept together, but based on how aggressive Virginia was at the wedding, I wouldn't be surprised if they had a fun alcohol-induced night.
Yeah, I don't believe that they said if they had sex or not either, and I'm fine with that because I think even as the shot was like panning away at the end of the night, they were in the midst of making out. So I think Lifetime left it to assumption that yes, they did in fact have sex, and power to them because it seemed like they were into each other.
So then there was Clara and Ryan, who we jump back into their relationship, and Clara is still talking. Ryan said, I thought I was going to have a break from her talking. And then I find out she talks in her sleep and she walks in her sleep. Ryan has expressed that he's more comfortable with some quiet time. What do you think about them?
I feel so bad for Ryan because it seems like he's one of those guys that said on the questionnaire that the expert sent out, oh yeah, I'm extroverted and I like to talk. And then he met someone who's really extroverted and he was like, oh, wait a second. Scroll back. Cause it seems like he maybe might be, you know, in the right setting, ready to talk, ready to be gabby, but not all the damn time. And Clara seems like one of those people that are just never not talking. They're one of those people that just want to hear their lips smacking together. So I feel bad for him.
I think Clara could potentially have an antagonistic relationship with silence. I think she doesn't like to sit in it. She doesn't like to think in it. I think what mostly stood out for me was that Ryan's parents were ministers. Maybe I missed that in the past. And then Clara was talking about how she doesn't really believe in organized religion. It almost feels as though she has a strong reaction to it. Like she wants to avoid it, has been avoiding it since that one time she went to camp. I don't blame her. I think some people get a taste of religion and how it's presented by a select group of people. They see sometimes hypocrisy and then they run far away from it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested to see how this takes shape in their relationship. Is Ryan going to show her the purity and integrity of Christianity, or are they going to get into arguments about how they want to raise their kids, what Sunday looks like to them, if she's going to go to church with his family, things like that?
No, I could definitely see that on the horizon. And I don't even think it was camp with Clara. It was college. She went to Bible college, didn't she?
Girl, I don't really listen closely. She says so much, you know, she I can't does, tell it, you for sure.
It's dense. There's a dense flow of words. But I think it was college, but either with Bible college. But either way, I do think that maybe she got some message from the church that just didn't sit well with her. And I can definitely understand that. I'm hopeful that she's just not completely closed off to the entire notion. I know in my own history, my dad and my mom had different, they were both Christian, but they had different flavors of Christianity. And so sometimes we would go to a Catholic church and sometimes we would go to a Protestant church and they allowed us to decide. And so I'm hopeful that Clara is not just completely anti-religion for Ryan's sake, because it seems like it's something that is near and dear to his heart. And maybe she won't go to church with them on Sunday mornings, but maybe she'll allow Ryan to take these future hypothetical children to church, or maybe she'll allow him to help them explore religion, and she can help them explore maybe not religion, what it looks like to not be deeply entrenched in Christianity.
Theism.
Exactly.
She can lure him into the dark side.
Exactly. But no, I just think that that situation, there is a way for it to be balanced in which she does not have to, she doesn't have to change herself and he does not have to change himself. And I'm hopeful that they're open and willing to explore that for each other's sake.
Did we see Ryan's brother this episode?
We sure did. We did. He was sitting right beside Clara at the in-law brunch with Ryan's parents. And he's a cutie. I didn't see it before, but that little profile shot, I was like, okay, okay, we get it. Yeah.
God forbid he turns direct to camera and all of a sudden it changes. You know, folks be looking different from different angles.
Maybe so. I don't know. Maybe he'll turn to the camera and it'd be like, dun, 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 all of a sudden. I don't know.
Oh, Lord. So then after Clara and Ryan, we wake up with strangers to lovers, Vincent and Brianna. They cannot get enough of each other. They both describe each other in high esteem. Vincent thinks Brianna is just perfect, and Brianna thinks Vincent is everything she asked for.
Tall just, and tan.
Even with that being said, though, no hanky panky.
I don't know why. I don't know. I guess for propriety's sake, I don't know.
You don't know why what?
I don't know why they wouldn't just have sex. I don't know why they wouldn't just bone. Because, and that's what I said, maybe for propriety's sake, maybe they recognize and realize that both of their sets of families might possibly watch this. So they just wanted to check off the box that they didn't screw on the first night. But they seem very into each other.
They seem very into each other. And number one, possible reason they didn't have sex is because you have your whole life to have sex. If you really are in it for the long haul, you don't have to rush to do it on the first night. Mm-hmm. You know, let all the juices marinate. The juices in your mind and in your genitalia. You know what I'm saying? In your nether regions.
They seem pretty juicy on Wednesday night. Okay.
I should have never introduced this language. Number two. I don't really believe your idea about them being concerned about what their family thinks, because Brianna at the wedding was talking to her friend saying that she might have to let it go tonight. She might have to try the bus it challenge because she's so attracted to her husband and doesn't see it going wrong. Mm-hmm.
But I think that there is a difference between, or at least for my family, there would be a difference between a playful joke like, oh yeah, I might have to bus it down. And then the night after, oh yeah, I bust it down. You know, like there's a little bit of a difference there. You know, like the night before, it could be construed as a joke with maybe a hint of truth. But the day after, it is a fact, an immutable fact. So I think maybe there was some thoughts maybe as she was changing out of her dress into her pajamas, and she was like, I was talking cash shit at the wedding, but I really don't want this smoke with my mom. And we know her mom is serious. She don't play. So
her mom looked up like a Miss Darlene.
She looked serious to me. It looked like she was not playful as a child.
I'm going to jump to Haley and Jacob because I know we're going to have a lot to say about Chris and Paige, so let's not have them come afterwards. We open with Haley and Jacob, and let me tell you, I have no notes.
They're hard. They're such a hard couple to talk about because they're just so awkward together. Now, I've seen on Twitter quite a few times that people like Jake's dry sense of humor, and they think that Haley might need a little bit of time to warm up to him. But just watching this warm-up process is painful. Like, every face that they make is a pained face. It's difficult.
They're difficult, but I actually think they're going to work out. They're difficult Why? To watch because they're difficult to watch, but oddly fit together. Jacob loves to tell a story, and Haley loves to laugh. And she seems like the type to sit, once they get comfortable with each other, to sit by his side and emphasize the story that he's told seven times with like a, and you'll never believe this part. Ha ha ha. Tell him, babe. Type of personality. I think they're both very serious in that Haley has been a bridesmaid that shows that she's supportive and she knows how to cultivate relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob has been single for a long time and has a long time to get to know himself. Mm-hmm. And they're both very open about the way that people may perceive them. Mm-hmm. That Jacob is saying, yeah, well, I'm kind of a nerd and I'm kind of out there. And Haley's saying that, you know, I don't really know what Haley's personality traits are, but she's there and she says them. I just don't be listening. And I think I think they'll go together because they're willing to have that transparency with each other and they're willing to grow with each other. Neither of them has presented themselves as people who know everything about everything. They know everything about this experiment. They know everything about marriage and that they are without fault. And I think that humility will go a long way with them.
You know, as you said that, I became a little bit concerned about them, actually, because you're absolutely right. Jake is very vocal and very open about his eccentricities and neuroticisms and weird little quirks. Very, very open about them. And I'm not sure if Haley is interested in that level of depth. As I watched her with Jake, it seemed like every time he would make it known his love for the 80s or his love for stupid t-shirts or any of the number of odd things that he did, I never got from Haley a look of endearment or a look of, oh, how odd, but cute or anything like that. It seemed like she almost felt a little bit judgy over all of the things that made him very, very unique. So I'm wondering if she has the goodwill necessary to make him feel comfortable and not judged, you know? I'm not sure.
Well, I do know one thing for sure. They are putting that little awkward brum, 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 on Jacob over time. Every time the man inhales, they're like, dunk, 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 dunk. That's all I have to say. That's it.
He is. Everything that he says to me is weird. He's a handsome guy. I can see he's a nice guy. I can see that it seems like he is a good friend. But he has so many quirks. And I mean, truthfully, that's what makes a man. That's what makes a human. And so I'm glad that he feels comfortable and confident in himself. And that would be attractive to me. I just don't know if Haley is feeling all the quirks. She might need him to reel it back a little bit.
Pick one quirk for today.
And work that.
We're not doing all of them. Our last couple, we wake up with Chris and Paige.
It goes downhill from there. immediately, he gets up to what? Go get the menu for breakfast in bed and... Hours pass. I've never seen with my own eyes someone be so disrespected so soon, like without there being an actual fight happening. You know, like the fact that they just met each other the previous night and already he is taking such liberties with her patience. I admire her. I admire her stick with
me.
It couldn't be me. After hour one, I would begin packing my suitcase and I would be in the car. By hour two, I would not need to be in the room for sure.
Speaking of which,
hold that thought. We're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back.
So you bring up a good point with Chris leaving the room. For me, this man has achieved so many little, it's not grievances, so many little, not discretion, so many
injustices.
Injustices.
Yeah, so many injustices.
For me, it's the little things.
Mm-hmm.
It's the little things for Chris and what they imply and how they compound into monumental injustices, mm-hmm. as you put it.
Yeah.
For me, going to go look for the breakfast menu and not coming back could, to someone, seem like a small thing. But to me, you made a choice for both of our days when you chose to take a long time, when you delayed yourself because you were, quote unquote, thinking. We've allegedly already, what do you call it? Switched, transferred, given numbers, exchanged numbers. We have already allegedly exchanged numbers. You could have communicated with me that you weren't going to make it back so I could proceed with my day instead of sitting with my tongue between my legs. That doesn't make sense. And this choice that he made in this episode reminds me of the behavior I was decoding at the wedding when I felt like he was very focused on himself. He wasn't really looking her in the eye. He was going about his business and wasn't considering them as partners. And so with each little thing, I become more and more
disengaged. Yeah.
Disengaged. And I feel as if it's past a point of, I don't like this person or he's a bad person. It's straight up disrespect. And I'm not even sure if he intends to do it. I don't even know if he's aware that he's doing it, but he's so much in his own head that it doesn't matter. And that's how he's been enabled throughout the course of his life, is it's all about Chris.
It seems like even if when he was leaving, he said, I need to think for a second and just leave, that would have been better received to me. To leave someone kind of hanging like that for multiple hours is just unacceptable. It's unacceptably inconsiderate, especially for someone that that really doesn't know you well. It would be one thing if maybe this was somebody that knows you to go off and leave for a couple of hours and comes back, and they're used to that, and they know that, oh, he'll come back and he'll catch up with me eventually. But for somebody who is completely unfamiliar with your habits or your patterns, it's just almost cruel. And it really left a terrible taste in my mouth, because it almost felt to me like, you're just going to have to sit here until I'm ready to deal with you, to deal with this. And I hate the idea of having to be on someone else's time, especially when I did not consent to that, you know, just terrible.
100%. 1,000%. In fact, with him walking away, first of all, we don't give Chris a lot of props. So I'd like to take a moment here for one prop to Chris, is I'm really happy for his refractory period. When I heard that they had sex at night and in the morning, I thought, good for him. Good endurance, good speed, all of that. But he sounds like one of those men that as soon as he ejaculates, he's disinterested, which happens sometimes, I hear from my research, is that as soon as they let the boys out from their holding cell, they're like, well, we accomplished that. And so I know at the beginning of the episode, I said that sex doesn't change the way that people feel about you. I still stand by that. I think if by the end of your session, they're like, all right, well, roll over, pull up my pants, go do something else, get away from you, it was never really interest to begin with. It was lust.
I don't know if that's the case, because at least, why not? At least for me, with morning sex, there's the assumption that we are about to start our day. So it's kind of different from any other day kind of sex, because it's almost like a coffee scenario. Like, oh, did that. Now let's go. Let's go in coffee. The shower. Let's brush our teeth. Let's get to the day, you know? Well, whereas if based you were having sex, say, in the night, I would anticipate more cuddling, more post-activity, you know?
Yes, I agree with you. However, on your first or second time, you're supposed to be savoring the moments. If you know somebody better, sure, it's coffee. And I know you like your men black and your coffee. So I get that analogy for you. I think if we were just married yesterday and this is only our second time having intercourse and we have nothing else to do with our day, then the response from you should not be to jump up and then get lost for 2 hours.
No, I completely agree with you. And that's a good point. It's not as though this was a work day. Y'all are in a hotel. This is a day off. I'm guessing a weekend day. So you have time to lounge. And I don't know.
You're in a fully paid for hotel room.
Yeah, if it were me and even a boyfriend that I had known for a long time, I would expect if we have time to lounge that we would lounge. So
I couldn't get over the fact that he had the nerve to penetrate her, as you say, and then turn around and say, I'm not attracted to you.
It was just a nightmare scenario. Everything, all of the things that like you just would never want to happen after sex did happen with them. Like, I can't believe that, once again, that he would be so flat out with that. Like, I'm just not attracted to you. I think there's so many different ways that you could get that point across and have it be gentler, especially after being intimate, you know? So
also, what good does telling Paige that do? You've already told her she's beautiful. Why do you then need to tell her you're not attracted to her? Because how does that move your relationship forward? If you know you have to grow an attraction, why would you then not keep your mouth shut and talk through things that make you attracted to somebody? Ask her a question, delve into her mind, get the breakfast menu, sit and chat over breakfast, learn what makes her smile, what makes her twinkle, and maybe then you'll fall in love with her heart. I just learned from this scenario that, well, we already knew this, that Chris was posturing the whole time when he was in the opening episodes talking about how sex has ruined his relationships and he wants to hold out. And really, I mean, even on the honeymoon you did it, I would have a little more compassion, but you couldn't hold it for one night after you made that big speech. And it wasn't even like your balls were going to fall off if you didn't do it, because you just said you weren't attracted to her, which means, again, you just did it out of a function of your own pleasure.
I mean, I completely agree with you. And I think that the trend, the theme that we've seen from Chris from the very beginning is a lack of maturity, a lack of understanding of consequences, of emotional consequences that happen when you engage in adult activity like sex or marriage or relationships. I mean, I think what I'm saying about Chris is not necessarily that he's doing this intentionally, that he is purposefully being an asshole and a jerk, but I think that he, as you said, Faluke, is so inwardly focused, is so self-centered, as a child would be, that he cannot comprehend how he's being perceived and how his actions are being perceived. And it's really unfortunate, because you would think as a 27-year-old man, how in the world have you gotten this far without developing at least the beginnings of these skills? It feels like you're a complete novice. It feels like my 5-year-old cousin has better emotional skills than you know? And to think that you have an entire business, to think that you have an entire career in which you're going out and not considering others to this level is shocking to me. Once again, I wonder, how have you made it this far? And the truth of the matter is, it perhaps is the enabling structure around you, is the family, is the parents, is the friends. So let's talk a little bit about what the parents were saying, Chris's parents were saying to Paige at the brunch when she came to them very upset about the treatment, rightfully so. They were quite surprised. They were quite concerned about his treatment of her. But I almost wondered to myself, if somebody is acting this grievously wrong, how the parents kind of have to know that what they're dealing with, he's not fully baked, you know?
I'm so flabbergasted. Yes, I was surprised that you even described them as concerned, because they didn't really look concerned. They were more like, oh Lord, here we go again. They didn't look shocked.
They didn't look shocked. You're absolutely right. But they did look like a, when she said, oh yeah, and we had sex, and then he said he wasn't attracted, they were like, oh, you know, like they were, it wasn't like a, I can't believe this, but it was more like a, that doesn't sound good. Not even that doesn't sound like him. It was more of a, that doesn't sound good. Right. And
I think it was more of like a, I'm surprised he told you that, not a surprise that he thought and did that.
Unfortunately, the structure around him, the family structure that is around him, maybe have been okay with that type of behavior as long as it wasn't on Front Street, as long as it wasn't something that was obvious. And maybe they were okay with it in the confines of their own home, but now that it is branching out, affecting others, and on national TV, I think that they are doing the mental math and realizing, oh, he might get the villain edit. And I think that was the dismay on their face, like, oh, he's not doing well, you know?
Well, I think integrity in your relationship shows your integrity in general. I think if you're not willing to have integrity with the folks that you're intimate with, how can you have integrity in business? How can you have integrity in community and in religion? So do I think this will negatively affect Chris's brand image? Yes. And I think it should. No shade, Chris. I wish you well, and I hope you find yourself, but I wouldn't be in a rush to do business with you. The person who stood out to me most when Paige was sitting down with the family, they were all giggling about, we had a moment. The mother was like, no, ma'am, don't keep going. The father was so cringeworthy with his, well, you know, I think you're beautiful and you're my type of daughter-in-law. He's the type that as soon as this relationship ends, he's texting her, like trying to have her as a woman on the side. Then his reaction to hearing about Chris was, well, I raised a gentleman. Really? Did you? Because I can't find one in the frame. I haven't seen one in the last few episodes. Which gentleman did you raise? Did you raise Ryan's brother?
Mm-mm.
Who did you raise, sir?
It definitely made me question, oh, do you have another son that is not currently on Married at First Sight that you raised? But
you know what he raised? A concern.
He raised, he raised someone that has zero accountability, and I think that's the truth of the matter. Like, this boy or this man, Chris, has not ever had to really stand in the mistakes that he has made towards others. And I think, I don't know why, but it is a trend that at least I've seen in men and in Black men specifically, not having to answer for the mistakes that they make towards women, as though that it's not a problem, you know?
You bring up a really interesting point about this being a trend with Black men, because I didn't think about that. But when I look at Chris, he is a product of potentially too much coddling and too much praise, because so many Black men are trying to be out here, and there's so much against them systemically, so much against Black men, you know, emotionally being limited in the ways that they're permitted to express themselves in society, et cetera, et cetera. So, but then also they're men. And so Black mothers, and in a lot of cultures, but we're speaking specifically about the Black community right now, often treat their Black sons different than they treat their Black daughters. And so Chris has learned how to please and earn praise from his parents. They have told him he is great, that he's doing excellent, and he lives for their praise. And so he knows, I don't know if he's an only child or whatever it is, but he's giving, I am God's gift to the world. And I see that a lot. Like, I am the prize because I am is he educated? I'm not sure.
He is.
I'm an educated Black man with a great job, and I make a certain amount of money, and I dress nice, so I am the prize. And a lot of men, Black men specifically in this grouping, feel that way because Black women, who often are the most loyal to their community and want to date and marry Black men, out earn and out educate their counterparts. And so Black men end up having Black men end up being able to have
Black an inflated ego almost.
They have an inflated ego because they have an abundance of choice. Whereas Black women are scrounging for respect and to be honored and to be loved in union. I don't know. I don't know if that was relevant, but
no, it absolutely was, especially in the South. If we think about like Southern Blacks, I know my mom said there was an old tradition of raising your daughters and loving your sons. Mm. And I think that that really holds true here. Perhaps they would have been a little bit stricter, a little bit more clear about how unacceptable it is to be this self-centered if the Chris was Christina. But because Chris is Chris, he can be self-centered, you know, he'll grow out of it or whatever. Boys will be boys. That all of that mentality, I think, is kind of swirling around and pushing this narrative with Chris and his family forward. And it really makes me sick.
Notice even in the father's word choice, he says, "Don't hurt her." I'm not sure he specifically reprimanded his actions, but he did say, "Don't hurt her." And I find that with quote unquote good men, it's not that they're not dogs in their mind, but they know what words to choose to appear as if they are good to you. I have my eye on them. I have my eye on them, and I'm really disappointed to see this behavior. You can also see the way that Chris clearly cares much more about what his parents think about him than anybody else in the world. You see that when he starts to cry these crocodile tears about, "You told my parents we had sex?"
Mm-hmm.
Well, sir, it was relevant to the conversation. Also, we're probably not going to last, so what do I have to owe you? And number three, they know. You've been talking about a honeymoon baby this whole time, and we are on national television where not only everything plays out, we then narrate everything back. So,
get a clue.
Now that I think about it, I don't think Chris said in his confessionals that he had sex with Paige. Did he? I think it was just Paige.
Yes, no, it was a buildup. So basically Paige had said, like, had he said that he was not attracted to Paige before they had an evening together and had touched each other, then she would be able to take it into stride. But because they had sex twice, it is hitting her differently. He didn't bring it up.
I'm sure it was hitting her differently.
Yeah. No, it's definitely a sad situation. And I think I was seeing on Twitter a lot, people were saying that they were surprised that Chris was acting so prudishly when, to your point, Faluke, he was laughing and jabbering about his bride's shape and about having honeymoon babies with her in front of the entire group. I was very surprised, not only his parents, but also his pastor, also her family. It seemed like he was very comfortable with talking about sex and sexuality on his terms. But all of a sudden, when Paige wanted to talk about it on her terms, he felt offended and disrespected, and it's a code and you just don't do that. You know, all of a sudden, because it's affecting you and it's something that's impacting you, you can see why this whole, "Oh, you're sexualizing," you feel it now. But you couldn't feel it when it was Paige, when the shoe was on the other foot and you were being the person that was sexualizing someone. And once again, that has to go to the insularity of his mind, the self-centeredness, the focus on himself, and not being able to step outside of himself and see, hey, the same thing that I was doing the previous night, Paige is doing today. Like, I set this tone.
Dang, I did this to me.
Yeah, you set this tone. You were the one that introduced sex into the group lexicon here. And so Paige felt comfortable and confident because y'all had been talking about sex since you met her.
Right, he asked if she was a virgin.
And now all of a sudden, you don't talk about sex with his family? That's funny, because you told my parents that you wanted to give me a honeymoon baby.
That's funny. Your father has been undressing me with his eyes since we met.
Exactly. It obviously the point is that, like you said, Chris was posturing. He didn't want to be chastised or looked down upon by his family, and he thought that that was what was going to happen. And it's a shame to me that he could not see that the actions that he was doing was the reason that people were looking down upon him, not the knowledge of the actions that he was doing. Mm-hmm. You know, so if there's a reason to be upset, it is because of your actions, not because your parents know about your actions.
Now that was the sermon. That right there was the sermon. Anyways, I'm not pro sex. I'm not anti-sex. I'm here for the facts.
Yeah, just anti-hypocrisy. That's all.
There we go. Anti-hypocrisy.
Okay, so now that we're all caught up on the audacity, the gall, the range of Chris to act a fool, I want to ask you, would you choose to give him a second chance, or would you be out the door without a look back?
I mean, he's still on his first chance, I feel. Excuse me. He's still on his first chance, if I'm not mistaken. He's been pretty consistent from the time we've met him. And I'm going to be very honest with you, and people probably aren't going to like this. I would give him a second chance, if that's what we're calling it. I would hang in there, similar to Paige. I think Paige is showing extreme maturity in this situation. I appreciate that she is being compassionate yet strong. When she sat with Chris and said, "This is unacceptable to me," I appreciated that energy. She's not just rolling over and hoping that he will fill some low self-esteem that she has in her heart. I think she's willing to see how this grows and giving him the benefit of the doubt that he may not communicate well, that he's not who he's meant to be forever, that love can help them both develop. Now, if I already feel like I want to leave you within the first 24 hours of us being together, it's probably not going to go well. But I did sign up for a 6-week experiment, which I can get through 6 weeks of anything. I also have already gotten my hair done to go on vacation. And even if I have to sit on the other side of the hotel, on the other side of the Venetian, I'm going to get this free vacation. What I would not do is continue sleeping with this man. That's where I think you run into clownery, when you keep throwing it back. And then he's asking you to do doggy style all the time because he doesn't want to look at your face. That was a little too real. I'm sorry.
Lord, you took it all the way there.
I thought we were trying to be real.
No, you're absolutely right. I definitely would take sex off the table. You got your last little piece last night or this morning. So enjoy it, savor it, put it in your memory banks because it ain't happening for a very, 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 very long time. Probably not until this experiment is over would it ever happen again. But I gotta say, I'm all for Paige being emotionally mature, and I'm all for everything that you were saying. Unfortunately, I could not, in good conscience, allow a man to embarrass me to this level. I just couldn't do it. I just would not be able to sleep. I would toss and turn at night, every night. It would keep me up thinking about what the things that you did to me. And I know that they're a big deal. They're not that big of a deal. It's not like he slap me in the face, but this is enough foundational disrespect for me. I just could not. We're speaking about foundational respect here. I expect as a human, from one human to another, that you give me a base level of respect just upon meeting me, just because I'm a human and you're a human. And the fact that that base level of respect was tampered with, I can't build any further. The foundation is cracked. We gotta stop. I can't continue. I would not be able to have a good time in Las Vegas with you. I would not be able to have, like, this entire thing would be clouded by this first day. And I would want to move forward immediately with my healing process. I would not want to wait, because I think when, especially women, or I won't even say especially women, especially me, when, if I choose to stay in a bad situation, it begins to affect how I feel about myself. I believe that if I was in Paige's scenario, if I stayed and allowed that behavior to go, not unchecked, because she did check it, but if I allowed that behavior to stand and for me to stay through that, I would begin to wonder, did I deserve that? Am I worthy of the behavior that I'm expecting here? It would make me question myself in a way that is not healthy for me, because Paige absolutely does deserve foundational respect. She absolutely does deserve somebody who is able to see her as a beautiful woman. And I don't want her to get confused or temporarily misled by Chris's foolishness. And I feel that I would be so protective of my own peace and my own mental health that I would have to run. I would have to run immediately before those questions even sprang up in my mind.
True. She's leaving herself open to more opportunities for disrespect.
And then gaslighting. Because, you know, he does it. Well, all of a sudden, it's all about how Paige told your parents instead of your actions. All of a sudden, you've twisted it into a situation where Paige might feel that she needs to say sorry instead of you saying you need to feel sorry. And I would hate for her or any woman to lose sight of the fact that she's in the right. She's in the right and Chris is in the wrong. I would hate for him to accidentally twist this into something that Paige feels bad about. I would have to leave immediately.
Well, we asked our Twitter followers, what did they think?
So they said, 94% of people said, get me out.
Dang.
They said, rolling out. They said, goodbye. But 6% of people said, one more shot. And particularly one listener or one Twitter follower said, you know, this is marriage. It's not dating. We need to be able to give a little bit more leverage, a little bit more room. This is a little bit more serious than being able to leave after the first night. And I can completely understand that.
I agree. When I'm dating, I'm very quick to leave someone. As soon as I see a red flag, matter of fact, the flag could be orange and I'm already on the blue line uptown. Do you know what I'm saying? I do not wait around to see if my intuition is correct. I know it is. And I also know that I'm not going to bear witness to your mistakes or prepare a shield for when you do become who I think you're going to be. Now, some may say I'm skittish and I maybe should be more understanding, but when you date for longer, which is why sometimes I get concerned about people who have been on the show and they haven't been dating, you learn things about people quicker. Somebody getting married after knowing somebody for a year or two at 21 is completely different than someone getting married after knowing them from the years of 38 to 39. Or 49 to 50. You know what questions to ask. You know what to look for. You know what chemistry feels like. You know which spots get you to where you need to go. There's a lot less to figure out if you're smart about your journey.
And intentional.
So that's why so many people watching the show, within minutes of meeting Chris, were like, he's a problem. We knew that. Many people have known it from the moment they saw hashtag blessed in his lower third.
Mm-hmm. So no, and I don't think that, I think that most people given 10 minutes with him, a conversation with him, would be able to ascertain that. I do believe that Paige's friends, based on their facial expressions, were able to see this, the water isn't clear. And I think everyone.
Something in the milk ain't clean, as Tamar Braxton would say.
Exactly. This ain't all the way good. So I think that it's natural, and it's unfortunate that Paige and Chris have not had the opportunity to date, because I think that Paige would move a lot differently had they not been married.
True. Speaking of asking the right questions, we had a lot of conversation generated by the couples, meeting the friends and the family friends. What stood out from you from, other than Chris and Paige, from these interactions?
So there were several little moments that I thought was very cute. I thought that having Eric's little sister come in with his mother and his mother's friend to talk to Virginia was very cute. I thought that that was a nice dynamic. I thought that it was very nice to see like a lot of different family structures. For instance, Vincent having his cousins there in place of his grandmother, who's in the Dominican Republic, whereas Ryan had his immediate nuclear family there. I just thought that it was nice to see the families interacting alone with the in-laws so that they could really get their questions off. Were there any questions to you that really you really enjoyed or really made you think?
Well, when Eric asked Virginia's father, is there anything that I should know about her? And Virginia's father responded, you've seen her.
Oh,
that man is a
pulls
truth.
No punches.
Jeez Louise. I said, all right now. And then he also offered some actual helpful information when he said that she's a very guarded person, that she's the youngest of the family, and that he's very protective of her. Now, what he also noted was that she likes to drink. And I thought, is this the defining cornerstone of your personality everywhere you go? At first, I really was blaming the Lifetime producers, but I don't think they convinced the father to say that. I don't think they convinced the bridesmaids to say that she vomits in the backseat of cars. Why is this such a pronounced part of your personality, I wonder?
I mean, I get it, liking to have fun in your 20s, living the dream, like I get it. But there were several times where I would look at Virginia and be like, girl, have you been here before? Like, why are you so hyped to clean out the mini bar, run back and take the champagne bottle? As soon as you got to Vegas, you wanted to open up some wine, get some shots. Like, damn, can we drink some coffee? Can we take a break? Like, where's the water?
Can we hydrate?
Yeah. Where's the water in this scenario? Like, you want to, like, Sprite instead? Something. Like, let's switch it up. Do we always have to have alcohol on everything? It was odd.
Very odd. Very, very odd. I never know if she's sober or intoxicated when we see the footage of the show. She was sitting with Eric's mother and family friend, whom you may have wrongly identified as a grandmother, but she's hot.
Def did.
she's a hottie. She's a baddie. I like her hair. I dream of going all white one day. My hair, not my body. And Virginia was just like, yeah, you know, I'm pretty 50-50 on wanting to have kids. And, you know, I really like to go out. And that seems to be her shtick so far. But you're meeting his mother, whom you already know is fairly conservative. I would think at least you would try and appease her by sitting up straight, brushing your hair, and speaking with clarity and intention that shows that you are suited for and prepared to be a loving wife. Now, I'm not saying you have to crumble because they want grandkids now. That's something you should discuss with your spouse, and I'm not even sure if that's something that they deserve the right to inquire about, especially so soon. But if I was the mother-in-law sitting across from Virginia, I would have serious concerns.
No, you're absolutely right. It's not a matter of like changing who you are, but it's a matter of knowing your audience. This is your mother-in-law. This is your first time with her one-on-one. And you would think that you would want to make a better impression. So I'm surprised.
Her father did say that she is a little guarded. He let Eric know that up front. I wonder if all this giggling and drinking is a defense mechanism for pushing people away, not wanting them to really get to know you. I don't think I've heard two sentences come out of her mouth without like a giggling overtone. It's not that she's laughing, but everything's like,
Faluke, oh God. I'm hopeful that as she becomes more comfortable with the situation at large, that she can slow down and be loose without the aid of alcohol. But I do understand, like, if I'm going to a networking event where I'm meeting someone for the first time, yeah, the first place I'm going to head to is the bar. A drink or two will definitely make this entire experience a lot smoother. Not three or four, but one drink to loosen me up.
You know whose meeting felt like a networking event that felt like a professional setting? Miss Brianna. She sat down and I said, ma'am, are you on an interview? Are you speed networking? She said, hello. I went to school for engineering. I became an engineer. And I would just like to tell you a little bit about myself and why I'm the prime candidate for your son. I wish she could have been softer instead of interview ready with them, because to me, the relationship with your partner's mother could be a very special one. It could be one that even aids you throughout your relationship. You don't want the mother on your wrong side. You don't want the sister on your bad side. And so getting a little bit more vulnerable around them might go over better. Although Vincent's representatives from his family were also giving strong energy, don't you think?
They definitely were. I felt that maybe they were responding to Brianna's energy. Like, she came in very professional, ready for business. And so they responded in kind. And perhaps if Brianna had come in a little bit more relaxed and a little bit more laid back, I don't think that they would have came with the same like X, Y, Z personality, you know? So I think that they were responding to Brianna as a prompt. I do feel like Brianna, just like Virginia's way of making this a little bit easier is by perhaps drinking, I think Brianna's way of making this easier, or her go-to coping mechanism, is that professionalism. And I definitely understand that as like a woman wanting to feel like you're prepared, like you're ready, like you have your veneer, it's on. I'm ready to be Superwoman. So I do think that's her coping mechanism. And I'm hopeful that over time, we're able to see her own guard down a little bit.
Vincent, on the other side, was way softer than Brianna. He really led with transparency and he was an open book. I felt like every answer he gave was so perfect. Like, when was your last relationship? He said 2 years. It was a very amicable breakup. It was because of career differences. I have a lot of respect for her. And I just felt like I could be more prosperous elsewhere. Beautiful. That's the perfect amount of time to heal from the relationship. You aren't speaking bad about her. I thought he was amazing. He talked about the conversations that he had with Brianna. They're the couple that said, we stayed up all night getting to know each other. And he said to her, don't be afraid to check me. And Brianna's mother said, she's going to check you.
Yeah. If I thought a perfect in-law meeting, it would be that, you know, they were vibing, they were laughing. It all felt very easy immediately. They didn't feel stilted or awkward at any point. And so it leads me to believe that Vincent has probably, you know, run this race before. He's had practice with meeting the parents. It's very easy to connect and engage with the parents in a way that shows that you're respectful and you're responsible, but you're also human and you're excited about the person that we're here to talk about. So I like that.
And then out of left field, you know who asked the best question of the night, of the day, of the episode to me?
Who?
Jacob. he asked Haley's parents, is it Haley? Haley's mm-hmm. parents, is there anything I can surprise her with?
Oh.
I thought that was the most thoughtful question to ask because it already shows that you're planning to put smiles on her face, mm-hmm. that you really want to know what makes her tick. And that to me, as a parent, as a friend, makes me feel like she's in a safe relationship. This man intends to take care of her. That, I thought, was the best question. Did any questions stick out to you?
I definitely thought that it was odd that we didn't see much content of Chris with Paige's family.
Like, not at all, really.
Not at all. We saw them sit down, but they actually didn't have a conversation before it cut to Chris with his own father. I wonder if it was a smooth situation or if maybe it was a little bit more contentious. They chose to cut it out.
So after the couples individually went to meet their spouses, friends, and families, they came back together to debrief.
I don't even think that they debriefed necessarily. Like, some couples did come back and ask, what did person A say or what did such and such say? But with Paige and Chris, when they came back, they had an entire come to Jesus moment. Chris was crying. Paige was unmoved. Like, there was an entire situation around it.
Yes, but I would say that the other couples chatted about some things. Clara talked about how her parents never argued in front of her, and that shaped how she views relationships. And then Ryan was like, yeah, well, maybe that's a good thing. But then Clara revealed that she was in a relationship with a partner who basically pulled the rug out from under her because they never talked about any of their issues and they never argued. They just kept it cute all the time. We also learned that Virginia says that she's always going to be a drinker. We learned that Eric says he wants kids for sure, although I'm not confident that he said it to her and maybe said it in a different audio because it sounded like some sneaky production edit there. My ear peaked up to it. It seemed like Paige and Chris got even more time alone to kind of think about the situation because Paige went to go get her hair done. Brianna and Vincent were just excited for the honeymoon. The couples find out that they're going to Vegas.
Vegas.
Vegas. They're thrilled. I found it a little underwhelming, but I didn't want to dampen their parade. Mm-hmm. Pour rain on the parade. What is the expression?
Rain on the parade.
I didn't want to rain on their parade. So they're headed to Vegas. I was very pleased to see that they were wearing masks when they got to the airport. They were wearing they had masks around their necks when they were checking in. Side note, I hate a man who does that stupid joke when you check in. Oh, she's going to be paying for it.
Oh, girl. When he said that, everyone's face went dry. It was just like, okay. Like, nobody cares, especially when it's a situation where it's already paid for. Like, get over it. I hate when men do that. It's just so...
It's not funny.
What's funny? Exactly. What the fuck is funny? Even if I was paying for it, is that a joke? Like, is that something people should be laughing at? And if I wasn't paying for it, is that a joke? Like, what part of it is the joke? Let me know. It landed as flat as it should have landed. There wasn't even a chuckle in the air.
Meanwhile, Vincent finds out, unfortunately, that his abuelita has suffered from a heart attack. He is down and sad and out. But we get to end the episode on a high note of Brianna swooping in, clutching her man, and letting him know that everything is going to be all right.
Yeah, very cute.
I'm looking forward to seeing how the other relationships evolve. So let's get into prediction.
I am still where I was last week. I don't think Paige and Chris are going to be together at the end of this. I feel that Virginia and Eric will be. I feel that Brianna and Vincent will be. I feel that Clara and Ryan will be. And I'm still unsure, on the fence, about Haley and Jacob.
Well, the big thing that sticks out to me is I do not think Clara and Ryan are going to stay together. Ryan is not expressive enough to make Clara feel secure. And I feel as though he, while comfortable saying that, you know, whatever Clara wants is fine, is eventually going to feel undernourished
by her lack of reciprocity in wanting to hear from him and wanting to cater to him and just mm-hmm. demanding that he tell her that he loves her. Chris and Paige, I previously said they were going to stay together, and I'm going to change that to that they're going to get a divorce. We've seen some teasers for next week and for the season. And while I have hope that, you know, we signed up for all the possibilities and things can get better, it doesn't. It literally looks like it gets worse.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't even feel that that is possible after this episode. There's Brianna and Vincent, my favorite couple. I'm so excited for how giddy Brianna has been. She just was wiggling and couldn't wait to get to Vegas. I think they're going to have a good time in Vegas. I actually think Vincent, while his heart is going to be at home with his abuelita, we're going to find out that she is feeling a little bit better and that he can't get to Dominican Republic anyways. So he's going to stay on the honeymoon and Brianna is going to plan something special for him to make him feel better.
That could be cute.
Haley and Jacob, I think they're going to stay married, oddly enough. She will want to be among her wife friends and he just likes having a warm body next to him in his mm-hmm. beach home renovation. And they'll stay together. And then Eric and Virginia, do I think they should stay together? No. Do I think they're going to stay together? Actually, yes. I think yes. The way that Eric has seen such sloppiness from her and still is talking about, I've never felt this way in years and I'm so excited. And I think he too just likes a warm body next to him. And while at times Virginia might be overwhelming to him, he would rather have that excitement in his life and in his room and in his home and in his heart than nothing at all. Because this is a second marriage and he doesn't want to fail. Not to mention, he's gone 4 days a week. He doesn't have to love her that deep. Ooh, dang, Fluke, that was harsh.
I mean, but it's the truth. When we know that we're going to have a little bit of distance, that's, you know, for the best.
All right. Well, there was a lot to discuss in this episode, and we could clearly see there's much more coming down the pipeline. To join in on the conversation with us, you can follow us at Mafs Mamas. That's M-A-F-S Mamas. Or you can follow us individually at Faluke Fiasco.
And Selena and Balin. And a special shout out to Lynn at Lynn Me and a whole bunch of numbers. She said that she did not want us to miss anything in this episode, and I hope that we hit everything for you, girl.
Yeah, we're building a little Mafs Mamas community. That's all for this episode, and we'll see you next time.
It's all or nothing.